Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail for your word. Say, when will you comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after your law? All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not your precepts. Quicken me after your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless us this evening as we come to your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to rejoice, to give you praise, to give you glory. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us into your presence.
Amen.
Where there's fullness of joy. Oh, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless us tonight as we look at your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. There seems to be a theme in each little section of this psalm. And the reason we're looking at this and looking at the alphabetic set out as a guideline is because not every first word in English is the first word in Hebrew.
Right.
So you get a mix-up. And if the Holy Spirit wanted to bring a first word into focus, then there might be some help in looking at what the first word is in the Hebrew. And it looks as though, at this little section, it's as if the psalmist is just hanging on, holding on. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things are happening around him, and he doesn't seem to be getting much of an answer, but he's holding on.
Yes.
What's he holding on to? He's holding on to the Word of God.
Yes.
He's trusting the Word of God. Now, the psalm is about the Word of God in all its ways and all its forms. And through all the trials that he's going through, he's hoping, he's trusting in God's Word.
Yes.
Sometimes he just can't see the answer coming, but he's trusting.
Yes.
Sometimes it has to be like that with us. We like to have immediate answers to prayer.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have to hang on through the difficulties, through the oppression, through the insults, whatever it might be that we're facing, knowing that God is going to work everything out.
That's right.
And there's a purpose in what we're going through. Many trials along the wayside. But God's word is sure. God's word is steadfast. Look at Psalm 69, just a bit further back, in verses 1 to 3. Here's the psalmist crying out, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. That sums up some of the experience of the psalmist in this particular section. And Psalm 130, a bit further on. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?
Right.
We're not trusting in our goodness. None of us would stand.
Right.
We're looking to you, Lord. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning, that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Glory.
And maybe, as I say, that's our experience too. That sometimes we just seem to be hanging on by the skin of our teeth, waiting for an answer from God.
Mm-hmm.
But God will bring us through. Wait, it says in Psalm 27, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon his word. And in the first two verses here, in verse 81 and 82, the first word in Hebrew is the word that's translated faints in verse 81 and fails in verse 82. It's actually the same word in Hebrew, but it's translated differently in English. Faints, fails, they're the two ideas. This is bringing to our attention the condition the psalmist feels himself in.
Yes.
Lord wants us to realise this. And he wants to look at our situations. And sometimes, so often, we feel that we just can't go on. Like there's in a particular situation that's getting us down.
Yes.
And we feel like giving up. Well, take encouragement. This is how the psalmist felt. He's fainting. He's failing. My soul faints. My soul is consuming away for your salvation.
Glory.
I want an answer from you, Lord. I want your deliverance. I want your victory. I'm waiting. I'm fainting. You know, Psalm 3, we get the assurance. In Psalm 3 and verse 8, it says, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people.
Thank you.
There's no one else. God's blessings for his people.
Amen.
There's nowhere else we can look to but the Lord and his word. Therefore, he says in verse 81, I hope in your word.
Thank you, Lord.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, says the words of the hymn. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in what he has done. Not hope as the world uses that word hope. Hope in the Bible is a sure attitude of faith that we're going to get something which God has promised us, which we don't have yet, is still in the future,
Amen.
But God's going to give it to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We have a hope of a home in heaven. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. There's no doubt about it. You know, when the world uses that word hope, it could be, might not be. Not in the Bible.
That's right.
In the Bible, it's going to be.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And he hopes in God's word. That's God's word as it has been revealed. As God has spoken and is revealed. It's the Hebrew word dabar, but that's the word. I'm just making the difference because there's another word that comes a bit later on. It's established, it's recorded in the word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 89, the very next verse in the next section, we'll come to next time. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
No one on earth can interfere with it. No demonic powers or the devil can interfere with it because it's settled in heaven.
Amen.
It's sure forever.
Yes.
It cannot be changed. Hallelujah. Trust in it. Stand upon it. Or the word of God. And here it says, I hope in your word. I'm waiting patiently. And then he says, my eyes fail for your word.
Yes.
He's been looking at the word of God, the written word of God.
Yes.
He's looking to the Lord. My eyes fail. Faint is the word that's used in verse 81. Fail here, but it's the same idea. My eyes fail. It's almost as if they're giving up for your word. I want your word. I'm weary with watching. But you know, this word is what he wants to hear. This word is what he wants to hear. In this particular verse 82, it's not dabar, it's imra. Imra in Hebrew is the word, but it's spoken word, the same.
Yes.
And I've made this comparison in previous, we've come across this before, that dabar in verse 81, the word of God, is like what we get in the New Testament. It's the sure word of God, the logos of God.
Yes.
It's established, it's written, it's there.
Yeah.
It's in heaven, we have it revealed to us. But then we have the other word in Greek in the New Testament, rhema. The sword of the Spirit, who is the rhema, the word of God.
Yes.
That word which comes to us.
Yes.
The living word. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord speaking to us. Making his word, his written word, real to us. The living word.
Yes.
And the psalmist is aware of these two aspects. He says, I'm hoping in your word.
Lord.
And my eyes fail for your voice, if you like, speaking to me.
Yes.
I want to hear what you're saying to me, Lord.
Yes.
When will you comfort me? When will you console me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to bring us to the place that he wants us to be. And the psalmist wants that comforting word from God. That comforting word which will ease his painful situation.
Right.
He wants with all his heart the word of God.
Yes.
Have you got a desire for the word of God? Have you got a desire for the word of God? You want to know what this written word is saying?
Yes.
You want to hear God speaking to you from this word? It's not just the recorded word established in heaven, but you want it to speak to you.
Yes, right.
You want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to reveal his word to you. You know, without the word of God, we cannot live as believers.
Right.
We cannot go on, we cannot progress. The word, it says, is a lamp.
Yes.
It's a light. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path.
Yes.
We don't know where we're going without the word of God.
Right.
We can't see the dangers ahead without the word of God. We need the word of God. And we go through the Bible and we find that the word of God, it's described in so many ways. It's true from the beginning.
Yes.
It's established in heaven. Jeremiah said your word is a hammer. It breaks to pieces, the rock.
Yes.
All those hard situations and those hard attitudes.
Yes.
The word of God can smash them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
It's a fire burning within.
Yes.
As Jeremiah said, I'm going to shut up because they all keep having a go. Whenever I speak the word of God, they all go against me.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to speak anymore in the word of God. And he said, your word is like a fire within. I couldn't keep quiet. It kept coming, burning up. Hallelujah. We need that word of God. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, we find that the word of God is seed. The seed is the word of God, as the sower sows the seed.
Yeah.
And we can expect to see fruit and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ being produced in others as people are born again in the spirit of the seed of the word of God. We find that the word of God is food.
Yes.
There's the milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word, as we're growing up as young babies in Christ.
Yeah.
And there's the meat of the word. It's the word of life. And the Bible says it's the sword.
Yeah.
The sword. The word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Dividing asunder between soul and spirit.
Yes.
It can make things clear between what comes from us and what comes from the Lord.
That's right.
The word of God. Oh, bless the Lord. And the psalmist wants the word of God with all his heart that he might progress and go forward in victory. And he describes his situation. He describes his situation, and we might feel like this ourselves sometimes. Sometimes he feels useless. He says, I feel like a bottle in the smoke. Now, before you go away with any ideas of some empty milk bottle or pop bottle, or I dare say beer bottle, all clouded up and cloudy, that's not the sort of bottle he's talking about. You didn't have those sort of bottles. The actual word is a wineskin.
Yes.
A wineskin. It's like a wineskin in the smoke. What he's saying is, I feel useless. I'm like a wineskin in the smoke.
Yeah.
I've become all blackened with the smoke. I've become dry and brittle. And if they pour that new wine into me, what's going to happen? Well, according to the teaching of Jesus, if you put new wine into old bottles, it bursts.
Yeah.
I'm good for nothing, says the psalmist. I'm like an old wineskin in the smoke. But although I feel like this, Lord, yet I will not forget your statutes. He's hanging on to the word of God again. It's the word of God, what the Lord has given. The first word there in that sentence is for I am become.
Yeah.
All those four letters translate the first word in the sentence. And it's actually a hyphenated word. But I am become doesn't begin with the letter kaf. It doesn't begin. But what's happened is to the front of it, as we've seen in other passage of scripture, to the front of it is added a little prefix beginning with the letter kaf. It's ki, it's pronounced ki. And it's used three or four times actually in these passages here.
Yeah.
And it brings to the word I am become, it brings that as a cause. For I am become.
Yes.
For I am become. All these things are happening to him, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. There's a reason. There's a reason for the situation he's in. There's a reason for the condition he's in.
Yeah.
But one thing he must do, however down in the dumps he might feel, however sorry for himself he might feel, there's one thing he must do. Never forget or cast off the word of God.
Right.
Keep to the word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, we live in times where in churches there are all sorts of ideas of, you know, how to promote yourself, how to better yourself, how to get success, how to see people coming in their droves and all the rest of it. But in all that, if we're going by in our own strength, it's not going to be long before we're disappointed.
Right.
But if you're doing the will of God, whatever happens,
yes,
you're going to be thrilled with him. And so he says, I do not forget your statutes. I'm guided by what you have declared. You know, if we're a wineskin, be filled with the wine. Be filled with the wine.
That's right.
His goodness. It keeps the bottle supple.
Yeah.
New wine, says Jesus, he's putting new bottles.
Amen.
New wineskins. That's a whole other message. I'm not covering off that one tonight. And then he has a question for the Lord, which begins again with this key word. For, it doesn't actually appear in our translation, for how many other days of your servant?
Yeah.
If you come like a bottle in the smoke, if he was absolutely useless, and then this is going to be, for how many days, for how many are the days of your servant? How long have I got waiting for you, Lord, to do these things that I'm expecting, to deliver me from the enemies, to set me free from all the opposition? This is what's bringing me down.
Yeah.
When are you going to execute judgment on them that persecute me?
That's right.
When am I going to get an answer, Lord? It's a problem to him. You see, it's a feeling of despair that sometimes we feel if we don't seem to be getting answers to prayer. If there are problems that are not being solved. If there are people who are making life difficult for us and we've brought to the Lord in prayer and they're not being dealt with. You've got to keep your focus on the Word of God. Otherwise that feeling of despair will bring you down. When nothing seems to be happening. You feel like that sometimes? Nothing seems to be happening. Furthermore, it gets worse than that. He says, I'll use the old English past tense here. It's not what we say today. Digged. That's what comes first in the sentence. Digged. Something's been digged. Something's been dug. What's been dug? Pits have been dug. In actual fact, the word literally means pitfalls have been dug.
Yeah.
Deliberate traps have been set.
Yeah.
To cause me to fall and to stumble. It's the enemy again. Who's done this? The proud. The arrogant.
Yeah.
The presumptuous. They've dug these traps for me to trip me up, to make me look a fool. It's not after your law. They shouldn't be doing it, Lord. I want some justice here, Lord. You can feel it coming through.
Yeah.
I want some justice. And sometimes we feel like that. Lord, it's not fair. It's against your law. He wants reassurance from the Lord. And so he comes to the Lord in verse 86. He wants this reassurance. He wants to trust the word of God.
Yeah.
And he says, all your commandments.
Yeah.
That is the first word, kol. All your commandments. All your mitzvot. The bar mitzvah word.
Yes.
All your commandments, they're faithful. They're faithful. I can't see what's happening all the time. I can't see how you're working, Lord, but I know that all your commandments are faithful.
Yes.
They shouldn't have been doing what they were doing, laying traps for me. But all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Lord, this is my case. Help me. Sounds like a Beatles song, doesn't it? Well, maybe I'm too old and you're too young to remember. I need somebody, help! But it's an interesting word, azar. It does mean help, but it literally means surround. Surround me, Lord.
Yeah.
Surround me with yourself. Surround me. You know when Elisha and his servant were in Dothan?
Yeah.
And the Syrian army came because Elisha was giving away the king's secrets. He was giving away all the king's battle plans.
Yeah.
And the king was saying, who's the traitor amongst us? And one of the servants of the Syrian king said, there's no traitor, it's Elisha. He gets revelations from God. And he tells the king of Israel, what you're going to do next. So the king of Syria sent his army to surround Dothan.
Yeah.
One morning they're looking up and Elisha can see all the army of the Syrians around the city of Dothan. And Elisha's servant saying, what are we going to do? Panic, panic, like the psalmist, you see. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes.
Yes.
Let him see what's going on.
Yes.
And around the army of the Syrians, as the Lord opened the servant's eyes, were all the hosts of the Lord, the army of the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
There was nothing to worry about. Yet the Syrian army was still there.
Yeah.
But there was nothing to worry about. And in the end, there was a wonderful victory.
Amen.
There was a wonderful victory. In Psalm 34, verse 7, it says these words, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them.
Amen.
You might not see them, just as the servant of Elisha didn't see them at first. You might not see them, but the word of God assures us that they're there. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. There's a help surrounding us. Praise the Lord. And the psalmist is crying out, surround me.
Yes.
Oh Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that you're there, even though he thinks you're not.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 125, verse 2, he says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever.
Lord.
There's the surrounding of the presence of God. And verse 87 continues with his thoughts, the psalmist's thoughts, where he says, and the first word here is almost, but it's not just almost, it's for almost. It's that key word again. It's that key prefix. For almost they had consumed me upon earth. Almost. And there's the difference. Almost, but they didn't.
That's right.
Almost, but they didn't. And sometimes we get into situations where it almost seems to go wrong, it almost seems to go off the rails, but actually it doesn't. The Lord is there. Almost they consumed me. But I didn't forsake your precepts. It's the word of God again. We hold on to the word of God.
Yes.
Don't forsake the word of God. Stick to the word of God. You'll never come to grief. The going might get tough. There might be problems. But the Lord's there. Surrounding you with his love. It will always be an almost.
Yes.
An almost. The devil will never get the victory. The Lord gets the victory.
Amen.
Every time. So don't panic. Don't panic. You do not forsake the precepts of the Lord. God's word never fails. Praise the Lord. And then as a last verse, as a little thought to end this particular passage, he says, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And the first word there is not just after, it's this for word again, this key word again.
Yes.
For by your loving kindness you quicken me.
Yes.
There's a reason. That loving kindness is a word which we've come across before. The Hebrew word, if you recognise it, is chesed. And chesed means loving kindness, but it's the equivalent of the New Testament idea of the grace of God.
Yes.
We don't deserve what God does for us.
Right.
The psalmist will never deserve the answers from God. But God in his loving kindness and his mercy and his grace, he works on our behalf. Your loving kindness. There's a reason why the enemy didn't ever succeed in the life of David here, or in the life of the psalmist.
Yes.
There's a reason why. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's the grace of God. And for after your loving kindness, he says, quicken me. What does that mean? Quicken me. It means make me alive.
Yes.
Revive me. Oh, we sometimes sing that. Revive us again.
Yeah.
Make us alive again. We've dozed off to sleep, Lord. Revive us.
Right.
Make us alive again. So shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. With your help, I will keep the testimony of your mouth. The psalmist, you see, goes through difficult times. Sees no answer for all the problems surrounding him. Yet the Lord is not going to let him down. And he's going to trust the Lord. He's going to trust him implicitly. How? I shall keep the testimony of your mouth, Lord.
Amen.
What did Jesus say to the devil? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we get the victory. Praise the Lord. Amen.